May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine for a moment that you are in the presence of a creature from another planet. I wonder, how would you describe to them what it means to be human? One of my favorite picture books as a child was called Dr. Zargle's Book of Earthlets. It's set on another planet where the alien lecturer, Dr. Zargle's, is teaching a class about life on Earth. He begins by talking about babies, whom he calls Earthlets. Each image in the book is an observation of what human newborn life is like, from an alien's perspective, of course. Dr. Zargle says, they have one head and only two eyes, two short tentacles with feelers on the end, and two long tentacles called leggies. He goes on. Earthlets have no fangs at birth. For many days, they drink only milk through a hole in their face. When they have finished the milk, they must be patted and squeezed to stop them exploding. It is a silly book, but it raises the question to an uninformed observer, what does human life look like? What does it mean to be human? I wonder, if there was an alien watching you this last week, what would they have learned from you about being human? Think back on your last week with me. Would they have seen times of success and joy and pleasure? Would they have seen failure and difficulty and pain? What would they have learned? I wonder if you'd have liked to have spent last week being observed. Perhaps you would have preferred a different week where things went more to plan and you might have represented the human race a little bit better. It is so easy to put ourselves under pressure and think that being human involves being a savior, being spectacular, or even being superhuman. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see the perfect way of being human. Jesus shows us how human life was always intended to be lived in total harmony with God and in service to others. It's the perfect vision of perfect communion, as it was always intended to be so way back in Eden. But this is a life that is not constantly happy and not immune from vulnerability. It is a life not free from trial nor temptation. Jesus was tempted like humans in every possible way. And yet, through it all, he was able to be true to God and so be truly human. In the desert, Jesus faces three different temptations that distort what it means to be truly human. Have a look at the gospel reading. Jesus is tempted to be a savior. He is tempted to be spectacular. He is tempted to be the superhuman. First, he's tempted to being the saviour. The accuser says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Surely, if you're human, you would do everything in your power to help others. Surely, if you really care, you would go above and beyond to make others better. Surely you should be doing more to help. If Jesus did turn stones to bread, he would have an easy way of meeting the needs of so many. And he would be able to fulfill his own needs for food after many days of fasting and becoming so hungry. Where are we tempted to be a saviour that rescues others? Where do we give out without asking God for strength? Where do we rush around being kind and helpful as a way of meeting our own needs to be a hero? Where do we burn up our energy solving the problems of others whilst ignoring or avoiding some of the problems at home? Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yes, we have physical needs, but more deeply we have spiritual needs that only God can satisfy. In all our efforts, we cannot remove the spiritual hunger of others, but we can direct them to the one who can save them. Christ knows that he will save others, but only if he follows God's lead and God's timing first. Jesus' second temptation is to be spectacular. The accuser says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the top of the temple. Surely you want to be noticed. Surely you want other people to admire you and speak well of you. Surely God could use you to do something so very spectacular. Jesus had told the tempter that the word of God must come first. And so the accuser puts this to the test. The word of God says that if you were to throw yourself down from here, it would be spectacular because you'd be caught by the angels and would come to no harm at all. The seductive voice suggests this would be the perfect witness to God's power. Everyone would see and witness this spectacular miracle. Where are we tempted to be spectacular? Where are we trying to be the center of attention? Where are we tempted to use scripture for our own ends rather than to listen to God's voice? Where might we want to push God into acting and try to bring glory to ourselves rather than to God? Jesus says, do not put God to the test. Christ knows the accuser is trying to tempt him into publicly revealing that he is the Son of God before the appointed time. The tempter bends these words of scripture out of context to manipulate the voice of God. But Christ knows the living God, and he will listen to God's voice first and foremost. The final temptation that Jesus faces is to be the superhuman. The accuser says, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor if you will fall down and worship me. Don't you want to have power? Don't you want to have the luxury and freedom that more money can bring you? Don't you want to have a lasting influence? Here, the heart of temptation is laid bare. Where are we tempted to be the superhuman? Where are we seduced by the glitz and glamour of the world and bored by God? Where might we deny God in favour of gaining the respect and admiration of others? Where do we believe that God has shortchanged us, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and so desire more? The accuser attempts to lure Christ into worshipping him and denying God. And Christ says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Each of us will face the temptations to be a savior, to be spectacular, to be a superhuman. But these are distortions of what it means to be really human, to live our lives in worship and service to God. For it is here, in relationship with God, the one who created us and knows us and loves us, we will discover who we are truly created to be. Then we will know deep and lasting joy, which alone will truly satisfy. When we are tempted, may we draw strength from Christ's example to know God's voice, to trust God's word, and to seek God's timing above and beyond our own. And if and when we fall, may we have the grace to turn back again to God and so know that we are God's beloved and forgiven children. For we may not have aliens taking notes on our lives, but our lives are still witnessing to others. May God give us grace to resist temptation, the strength to be disciplined in our walk of faith, and the wisdom to desire first God and God's kingdom. Amen.